and welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith, and we are joined today by Angus and Sebastian. How are you doing today?
Doing very well, thank you.
I am doing tolerably.
Yeah, you're not having the best day.
No.
No.
We're just going to leave it at that?
No, we're going to just walk on by. Just keep moving.
Nothing to see here.
Asking somebody why they're in a bad mood is a great way to get yelled at.
Absolutely. I have been in those moods, and I'm like, no, I don't want to be talked to right now.
Yeah.
So today's show is going to be looking at Hook Up or Bust. That's the title of the show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the idea is, you know, is that when you're dating, and it's been a while now since I've been on the dating market, in a relationship now for 2 years, which in gay terms is married with 3 kids.
Yeah.
So it's been a while, but is
You share an apartment with 2 cats.
Yeah, so it really is married.
Which is, it's very that.
And those things live 20 years, so you had to have like one hell of a conversation before you agreed to that.
Well, I think I was more like blackmailed into it, where it was pretty certain that he would leave me if I did not agree to a cat.
Uh-huh.
So, Yeah, I mean, folks shouldn't do that. Don't get blackmailed into pets. That's not a good thing to do, but, you know.
Especially if it lives longer than 10 years.
Yes.
Or 5 years, really.
Goldfish. You can easily get blackmailed into goldfish.
Or a guinea pig.
How long do they last?
2.5 to 3.5 years.
Unless you shout loudly and then they just get so surprised they die.
I had a guinea pig that lasted 5.5 years when I was a kid, and the vet was just alarmed when we brought him in. Like, dead pet, please bury. And he's like, how old? 5.5. He's like, that doesn't happen.
Oh, wow. we have 3 dogs. So we're kind of like the Brady Bunch of pet ownership, because I had 2 from my previous relationship and he had 1. So now we have 3, and that's a lot. Like, I wouldn't have chosen that ahead of time. So be careful, because you could end up... No, so, I'm not even going to go there, but...
So Hook Up or Bust? What is this?
Hook Up or Bust.
Shall I introduce it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it was actually originally my idea, wasn't
yeah.
it? So there is an interesting, I guess, a phenomenon, a trend, a cultural expectation, mm-hmm. a milieu in the gay community, where although a lot of, stereotypically, a lot of straight men use relationships to get to sex, a lot of gay men use sex to get to relationships. So the basic idea is that there's a lot of men in the gay community who use hookup apps, and all of the apps, all of them advertise as being social networks.
Mm-hmm.
That is what they say they are. They all have like their little ads and their literature and their, you know, you go to their Google Play page and the mm-hmm. description, it's always about making new friends and meeting people. None of them say, you are here to put headless torso pics so that people can come over and suck on your jiblies.
Yeah.
But that's basically, I mean, it's understood that that's what it is. Even Tinder, which I always thought it was weird that Tinder turned into what it is, because the first people you see are people who are Facebook friends and friends of Facebook friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd think there'd be accountability, because if you're a jerk online, then it would go back through the network and then your friends would know what kind of a monster you are.
Right.
And yet for some reason, Tinder attracts the biggest monsters of all.
Yeah, it is the correct.
I don't know how that's working, but anyway. Despite the fact that they all advertise themselves as being a social network, a lot of people use them for hookups. But officially, a lot of people are using them for hookups. It's not uncommon for men to hook up with other men, and then whoever is still there in the morning is their new boyfriend.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm grossly oversimplifying it, obviously. This is very reductive. But this is a general concept of the pattern where I'm pointing to you, and I have had conversations multiple times with multiple people, including one of your exes,
mm-hmm.
About how they hate that. They don't like having sex with people they've just met, but they feel that if they don't, they don't get to date them.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is, but this is the topic of conversation today, the general...
But it's true. I mean, but the other side of the coin as well.
That is and guinea pig lifespans, apparently.
Well, in that. The other, like, essentially what I notice when I'm on these social networks is that the minute that the bubble is burst, that that I can't provide like a white picket fence and like living the dream, like they hightail it. Or another regular occurrence is like the people who get like really angry and feel as though you've like lied to them or misled them.
They've been cheated, and literally there's nothing
in my profile that says like,
yeah,
please marry me.
Like, you could even have in huge block letters, no hookups, mm-hmm. No dating until we've chatted at first.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, if you just want to chat long enough to agree to meet to coffee, that's fine. You could put the whole gambit. There's a lot of these are common. You see them often. You could put the whole gambit, and people would still be angry that either you're not agreeing to marry them right away, or you're not going to go over and suck on their Ghiblis.
Well, or right then.
Why I'm using the expression Ghiblis.
I thought giblets would have been a good...
Well, I like giblies because it makes it sound more like dangly or bouncy or like...
And giblets just make me think of like turkey.
Yeah, giblies.
Should we just call it the biz?
The biz.
I like giblies. I like giblies.
Okay. Whatever.
Because it sounds like it's something that dangles. Yeah, yeah, now, he's nodding.
The other side of that is, are the people that, that those things, like the, that you just listed, like the no, those things are almost like catnip to them. Like,
ow.
They almost need that. Like, they love that sort of conflict that comes with those profiles. Like, it's like a conquest to them. Like, if they get a sniff that you're in a relationship, they want it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they're ready to. I mean, I've had full conversations where. You think you're friends with someone and you kind of go like, and they say, hey, how's your day? It's like, oh, I could kill my boyfriend or whatever. And then they're like, oh, well, tell me all about it. Like, and then they try to paint a dream of like what the relationship would be with them. Like, that would never happen. I'd just be cooking for you all the time. And we'd be like doing craft projects or whatever.
In the back of your mind, you're like,
reality. And I'm going like, I fell for that. That's where I am now.
You say that. I actually, you know, just last weekend I made a Victoria sponge. So it's some people do that.
People do
cook, but you all like you're also living the dream right now. So like, you know, you throw that up on these social networks, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see all of those like. I call them like sharks, like they're like circling, because it's almost like once they know you bleed, like they figure you'll do it again. Like it's like, you know what I mean?
Well, that's really grim. That is rather grim.
But the general issue today is not hookups. I mean, not social apps in general, but specifically the social pressure that a lot of... I'm going to say gay men for sure, because we are three gay men.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have heard this complaint from women as well. Mm-hmm. Not just straight women either. The idea that you have to have sex as soon as possible, otherwise you are not permitted to date.
Mm-hmm.
Or you feel like you're not permitted to date.
I mean, that's how you seal the deal. I mean, that's it. And there's... I mean, it also is reflected a lot in the language of it, you know. There are so many conversations that happen on these applications, which go, you know, hey, how are you? Good, you. I think I've summarized 5,000 conversations I've had with that. And then it goes top bottom, because your sexual position is vitally important, you know, to that. And I think it immediately cement the context there, which is very very unfortunate.
We certainly have conversations through these social networks that we wouldn't have like in real life. Like,
I don't even do that. Like, if somebody says how was your day, I don't say fine. I'm like, you know what? If you're going to ask me how my day was, like, you're opening Pandora's box and you're just going to live with the fact.
Well, and I have a...
You best sit down, prepare yourself for Sebastian's response.
I have a girlfriend that she's new to, like, my community sort of thing. And, you know, and she's out there trying to find love and go on dates and stuff like this. And she's heterosexual. And I said, like, it's a very different animal when it comes to like our chat sites and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like for you, the old D pick, right, comes like soon into the relationship. Like for us, it's there at the gate. Like we could log on to a page and we're literally surrounded by genitalia.
Yeah.
And it's like, and socially, like I don't want to go to like my local coffee house or whatever and like know what that barista's a-hole looks like. You know
it's
what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, because the D-pick is so common, the butthole pick is the
rising star of inappropriate images.
Rising star, like that.
I find the pressure kind of expresses in odd ways as well, because you do occasionally see someone whose profile is all about love and relationships and settling down and finding that special someone. But the pick is, you know, a headless torso, and if you're lucky, and if they say hello to you, it's hello plus five images of the Gimblies. And it's first of all, it's a very mixed message. But more importantly, it shows that there's a mixed message in their own heads.
For sure. Like, I feel like...
One of those things where, like, if someone's like, I am just out there to get laid, and if I meet someone, then that's fine. Because I have seen people with those profiles, like, I'm here to hook up. If we get along, that's a bonus, but that's not why I'm here. Yeah. And there's something about that kind of honesty where, like, if they're like, hey, sup, you busy? And I'm like, I mean, we can meet on the weekend. And he's like, no. Today or nothing. It's like, okay, cool, honesty, love it.
Yeah,
can't supply with the goods you need. So good luck shopping. Thanks a lot, buddy. Like, I've actually had this like twice in my life, this kind of conversation, and it's kind of like it's refreshing. Where it's like, you know what, you want something I'm not giving you, so you just say, well, thank you for your time.
I like when guys call a spade.
Yeah,
you know, I'm out here for XYZ. You are you able to supply it? No. Okay, cool. Thank you. Have a great day. Moving swiftly on.
So civil.
I know. It's not leading you along the garden path and then an onslaught of the rising star of the latest photos. You know, that's not really what you want to see. Now, we're going to jump to a song, and when we get back, we're going to look at the next step in this hookup or bust scenario. Oh, yes. And the next step is, you know, you've gone on a date. You've managed to secure this person at a coffee house. You're face to face. What happens next? Or does that not even happen?
Yeah.
Is the first date someone's washroom, or not washroom, bedroom? That's the word I'm looking for.
Oh, no, washroom's pretty.
Yeah.
Freudian slip. So we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. This next song is by The Beards. Now, Angus, you suggested this particular one. Do you want to tell us why?
Oh, I like obscure music, and...
Are they Canadian?
You know what? I don't even know.
I don't think
they are. Do they know? Because there are bands where even they're not sure.
Well, they sound like they could be. I mean... but I will say, like, The Beard is really, like, it is a... It'll either make or break a date.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, Angus here has a beautiful beard, and congratulations on your wonderful beard.
Nice as well.
Well, no, I need to trim it. It's getting a little unruly. This is their song, That's You adorable. Should Consider Having Sex with a Bearded Man, and we'll be back just after this on CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media.
We'll be right back. you don't care, you say. Rub that beard on me everywhere. Now it depends on having sex with a bearded man. His sweaty beard drips like a watering can.
Sex with a bearded man.
Just take your life in your hands and ride that bearded man.
Sex with a bearded man.
And welcome back to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith, and I'm being joined by Sebastian and Angus. How are you doing?
I like the part of the song where it goes do 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 do.
Yeah.
And where they sing, like, you should consider having sex with a bearded man.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite lyric.
That was, yeah. I like that bit. So, we're talking about hookup or bust. Is there an expectation that if you want to have a relationship in the gay community?
I actually think this is a modern issue. It's just amplified in the gay male world, like by a factor. Like, it's not like it's not like a little bit more. It's just like double or triple. But I mean, I have spoken to a lot of straight friends who feel the same way, and I think there's two main issues that I would like. But anyway, the first is when people are on the first date and neither of them want to have sex on the first date, but they do anyway because they both feel like that's what you're supposed to do. And the other issue is health concerns. So people with, like, physical issues, like, and if you're talking about gay men, like, if you have IBS, then you're not gonna be doing butt stuff. But if you're with somebody who insists on butt stuff, and you're gonna have to, like, navigate that. But even beyond there, if you have depression or anxiety, or you are recovering from trauma, those are all super common among gay men, then sex on the first date is probably not good for you anyway. And so there's sort of the health and mental health concerns as well about this, and how do you navigate through that? But you, Luke, were talking about being there on the first date, and you're both there, and then what?
Yeah, what's the next step? Like, so, I mean, I have been to... actually, most times, if you are beginning this process and you're beginning it on a mobile application...
Beginning what process?
Of getting better acquainted with an individual.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And if you're beginning it on certain mobile applications, there is no, oh, would you like to get coffee? Netflix and chill was a euphemism.
Yeah.
You know, dating is almost a dying or dead art. And I am just as guilty as the rest of folks for doing that. You know, do you want to get a coffee? And by coffee, I mean the Ghibli bits.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
I'm going to be honest and come out of the closet in saying that I believe that dating is a construct, and that it's not... Like, I think it's basically BS. I don't think anybody dates. I think people have an agenda. I think that agenda changes, like, depending on your circumstances. But, like, I think in the, like, with, even with Facebook, I think the way that people engage with each other in general has really changed. So I think dating as we kind of, like, are referencing it is really dead. Like,
I disagree. I understand dating to be kind of going to a thing together to create and build that romantic interpersonal relationship. And I think that's not lost. And, you know, Valentine's Day was this week, and I think we're seeing a spur of romantic activity. So I don't want to say romance is dead.
How much of it is romantic activity and how much of it is following a script?
I mean, there's like certainly you're doing, a degree.
You're getting roses and chocolate because roses and chocolate is what you do. And if you don't do that, then someone's going to yell at you.
Or you're getting diamonds because of a very, very well-made marketing campaign.
Yeah.
But also you have to look at, like, that is your experience. And I'm not trying to say, like, I'm not making any judgment. But, let's face it, you're in a little domestic situation. You have a sweet partner. You have a couple of kitties. You like to cook together. Like,
domesticated situation. Domestic situation. Is
oh, yeah, I guess domestic situation. Yeah. But do you know what I mean? Like, it's... I mean, I'm certainly
speaking from the other side of a small white picket fence here, but the, you know, I wasn't always in a relationship. And I think, you know, there have been times when, I mean, movies are a dreadful date, let's ignore those, but, you know, going for walks together, you know, when you go for coffee and then 8 hours later, you're still talking to each other and you haven't touched the Ghibli bits.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the romance. That's the dating that I'm referring to. And everyone's had some times like that. So I don't think romance is dead. I don't know, we've kind of diverted into romance is dead, and
well, because that's my opinion.
Well, I think romance is dead is definitely a part of the issue here.
Well, it's certainly dying slowly.
So I think romance quite often is like, I think romance is the construct and not dating. So I mean, it's, we're agreeing with only a slight disagreement of angle here. But I think what you're trying to get at, Luke, is intimacy. And if you're talking about romance, like, I usually think about romance as being, it is a cultural construct and it does refer to something else. So one of the reasons why you get somebody roses or chocolate is because there's a cultural expectation to get somebody roses or chocolate. It's not romantic to get somebody a pineapple, you know, with a ribbon on it and be like, here you go. But strictly speaking, a pineapple is better than a bunch of roses because at least you can eat the pineapple.
And apparently it makes something taste better.
No, that's true, actually. That was not an intentional. Okay, we'll say a bunch of bananas. Like, you just give somebody, here you go, bananas. I hear you're low on potassium. Like, that, there's nothing less romantic, strictly speaking.
I was talking about a fruit salad.
Wait, I know you're trying to, yeah. But if you give somebody a bunch of bananas or a bunch of roses, the roses are romantic because there's that cultural expectation. It's a symbol of romance. Same thing, like, if you're doing a candlelit dinner, like, the candlelit dinner itself is only as romantic as every candlelit dinner you've ever seen in a movie. And so a lot of it is referring to something else. And it's easy because you can use this shorthanded symbol. So you want to establish a mood of intimacy. So you take one of these situations out of the box, and you're like,
social cues that we all know and
recognize. And you're like, okay, you're in a candlelit room now, there's food on the table, we are going to be romantic now. Like,
so
that's
my
it's a cue. It establishes the setting. But I think if you want to get into intimacy, like, intimacy can happen in any situation any which way. And that, I think, if you want to say intimacy is dying in relationships and that's a bad thing, I 100% agree with you on that. If you say romance is dying on dates, well, I don't know. Romance, it depends on the era of history as to what's romantic. But anyway, yes. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, my experience. So, like, my ex, for example, when we first started, I guess, dating, because, like, I never got a meal, I'm just going to say. But, like, you know, I'd go over to his place. And his idea was to, like, play soft music,
was it
light
post-rock?
A bunch of candles.
But it's John Mayer in the background or some Josh Groban.
It's like, you know, smooth stuff or whatever. Like, but, like, Enya and, like, Force. I mean, this is a period, right?
Are we talking about Sarah McLachlan's Not So Good
Yeah,
album?
This is the early 2000s, it sounds like.
It was very that.
Yeah.
Early 2000s. And then...
some Enigma.
And then, yeah, Enigma for sure. Like, yeah, like... but that dies really quickly. Like, I'll be honest, I would have rather just showed up and let's just do it. Like, why do you have to paint this picture? Like, why do you have to, like, set this whole scene when you just want to, like...
I think this breaks it down. We were talking about earlier about guys calling a spade.
Yeah.
And I think we need to kind of... I want romance not to die.
Yeah.
I love romance and the idea. I'm a soppy soft heart when it comes to that. And Jake, if you're listening, pay attention. But you know, I think, you know, if you go in and you're like, I just want to get down to touching the giblets, and you make that clear, that's fine. If you both agree, that's what you want, that's fine. But, you know, why does...
I think the candles and the music is just putting the brakes on so that you're not just walking in, you know, giving him the bad touch and then leaving. I think it's,
you know, making it so that you stick around for a little bit longer and you actually enjoy the moment instead of, because there is this instinct of like, mm-hmm. I'm here to do a thing, let's do this, like this idea of
Trump is mechanical.
No, it's upset. I was gonna say no. Goal oriented, like that.
See, and maybe that's the thing, right? Because yeah. Everybody thinks when I suggest what intimacy is, that like I think they think that I'm a cynic or something. No, there's intimacy. Like to me, yeah. Intimacy is like getting the like, you know, my boyfriend likes chocolate from the UK. He likes that Cadbury. So like I'll find that chocolate. So that's romantic and intimate, not some sad box of like a rose or a heart-shaped box of chocolate.
Well, I mean, in that case, it's meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But actually, I once accidentally made my ex cry. I didn't even know that what I was doing was, and he said it was the most romantic thing he had ever heard of, even in his entire life. And I was just like, I was just trying to be considerate. And I think a lot of what you're talking about is just being considerate. You know, if somebody, like getting somebody a box of chocolates and roses for somebody who's allergic to pollen and can't eat nut products, like you might be going up the wrong tree there.
That's what I'm suggesting. Is that
personalizing the experience, basically.
While I may seem like I'm the least romantic or the least into this kind of connection, in reality, I could be even more so.
So I think you bring up a good point there. And, you know, we're talking about maybe you don't know that they're allergic to pollen and you don't know they don't like nuts. Peanuts. Now, when we're talking about, you know, the hookup
tree nuts
bust,
in general, yeah.
Tree nuts in general.
So putting the brakes on is what I'm trying to get at here. That the idea with hookup or bust, that, like, it's having, if you feel like you are being pressured, and it's like, as I said earlier, there it's quite often where you see couples where both of them, they put out on the first date, they both feel dirty or used, so, even though they agreed to this thing, and it's just a matter of, it's okay to put the brakes on, and here are some techniques to basically be like, look, I would rather wait until the second or third or fourth date, and there are some things that I would like to do first.
Here's my and no judgment.
Yeah. But
based on the scenario that you said where you had friends who both on the date, they're thinking, no, I don't really want to do it, but they do it out of wanting to do, like out of wanting to date.
Out of a feel of expectation, yeah.
I would reach out and say, you're not ready to date. Like, if you're going to compromise your Christianity, to use a RuPaul reference, like so close into it, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Like, see, what else are you going to compromise throughout the course of that?
Yeah.
This sets up the conversation very nicely for next week's episode, where we're talking about, in part, we'll be talking about the capacity to negotiate. You know, right now, we've both already assessed, you know, that there are so many conversations on these dating apps where there's the automatic assumption that you're going to touch giblets.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to happen.
Giblets.
So if you say no giblets, you know, you're not going to get anyone knocking on your front door.
Yeah.
So to get them in the door, you have to give up a little bit, you know, to kind of make that conversation happen. I like the idea of what you said, maybe slowing it down, getting to it, but let's first enjoy the ride. You know, it's about getting there in an eventual fashion. If you're upfront about it. I don't like the idea of misleading someone. I think that isn't that. Maybe it is hook up or bust. Maybe we have moved so far in the direction that if you won't hook up, you're just going to be left out in the cold. And that's very unfortunate. I think that's very sad.
I have been single for 10 years because I refused to put out on the first date.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real thing.
What?
Yeah.
Like, you're single for 10 years because, like, that's a rule that you have?
Yeah.
But it's attributed
so
to that?
Partly attributed. Partly, okay. So in the past, I have noticed on the three occasions where I did put out on the first date, there was no second date. And maybe sometimes it works out, but often it does not. It does not matter how well you got along or how much you had in common or how attracted to each other you were. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a pattern that putting out on the first date makes it awkward to call them up for a second date where you just hang out and actually get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a date turns into a hookup is what it becomes. It's kind of awkward. Whereas if you like make somebody wait until at least the second date, mm-hmm. so like my ex-fiance, it wasn't until you can't really say the second date on account of it was complicated how we met. It wasn't really a date. It was like a ski trip. But anyway, mm-hmm. But it was like the fourth day of us being in each other's presence that we first like kissed or anything like that.
Yeah.
And first of all, let me tell you something. When you build up somebody's anticipation for days and days and days and days, they explode. And that first time is pretty crazy.
With passion and enthusiasm.
Yeah.
I make it very clear that I don't like putting out on the first date. And then a lot of people, they just stop communicating with me after that. And a lot of it is self-respect, because on the very few occasions when I have put on the first date afterwards, I just felt terrible. Like, I just did something I didn't want to do or I wasn't ready to do yet.
Well, and this is another thing, right? So, like, because sex, I mean, it's your most vulnerable.
Yeah.
And we're not used to being vulnerable with other people. So I think it's also a bit of a vicious circle because, I mean, if you go on the first date and you have sex, you're really kind of like literally exposing yourself to the core. Do you know what I mean? And I think that that's maybe where some of the disconnect happens for people, because they've done it, they've been compelled to do it, but then it's like raw. Because now when you connect with that person again, well, they've seen your Ghiblis.
Yeah.
And so like it could be...
It doesn't seem intimate anymore. Mm.
Well, but it could be just a confidence thing, like, because literally everybody that I have sex with, I feel like I've tricked them, and then, like, you know what I mean? Like, I've revealed.
I just imagined.
I think you need to clarify that.
But you know, like, but it's very like, yeah, it's like when you go to a car lot and you think you're buying a Lamborghini, but you end up driving off the lot with a Corolla. And that's kind of like...
You are not a lemon.
I present as a Lamborghini, but maybe I'm like an SUV or something, a crossover. But I'm practical, you know? I've got...
Like a Volvo.
Space. Yeah, that's too close to something else, but...
We're going to play a song by Tegan and Sarah. This is their song, That Girl. A brand new video just came out last month. Check it out. It's a pretty good song.
We
like to play by Tegan and Sarah. Also, they were in the news. I'll tell you why just after this. You're listening to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media.
Sick and tired of things getting tough. Never gonna be enough. Sick and tired of fights starting wars, never gonna be enough. Say what I want, say what I need. Sick and tired of things getting tough. Say what I want, say what I need. Nobody hurts you like me. The way you love.
welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. That was Tegan and Sarah with That Girl. They were recently in the news for calling out the Junos for their lack of representation of women and LGBT and ethnic minorities and First Nations folks in the Juno nominees.
Surprise, sweet. Surprise.
Hashtags Juno not diverse or whatever the Oscars... Oscar so white, was that what the thing? So
like whenever they list the history of great Canadian artists, they tend to fall into a very narrow very narrow description.
But it was nice that Tegan and Sarah called them to account, so who knows what will happen moving forward. We know that the Oscars, after Oscar so white, did actually make some progress in terms of representation.
Actually, last night I watched a presentation on it was a Black History Month presentation of People of Relevance, especially from Ottawa, but from Ontario in general. And the only person where I recognized them just by looking at them without looking at the name was, not Courtney Cox. What am I thinking of? Something Cox.
Deborah
Cox, that's it. Now, you're making that face, but 15 years ago, you could not go to a gay bar without Deborah Cox being played multiple times over. Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting there like,
you want to get laid, you put on some Deborah
Cox. I know who she is because I'm a homo. That's the only reason. And like everyone else, there's like, who's that? Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah. But like Deborah Cox, yeah. I was like, I know
no
that
idea
face.
Deborah Cox was from Ottawa.
No, she's from...
Ontario.
One of the suburbs of... nobody's from Toronto. There's
Brampton.
Yeah, it's like Brampton or Vaughan or something like that. I can't remember. It's one of those communities. But yeah, she's from that area. Hmm. Sort of like people say Chaos is from Toronto. He's not from Toronto. He's from Mississauga. Hmm. But nobody says they're from Mississauga. Why would you admit to that?
Well, because you'd have to type it all out, right? Too many characters.
Too many S's in that one.
Yeah. Luke is laughing because that's where his family lives now.
No, they're in Oakville, I'll have you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
They're just across the imaginary border between Mississauga and Oakville.
They're building a wall.
So how do you navigate trying to date if you don't want to hook up because of physical or emotional or trauma recovery or something like that? What are your feelings on that?
I mean, I'm pretty, like, my feelings on it are, I just have a belief that, generally speaking, we should just aim to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
And make that connection individual.
We should
try not to have a great expectation of what, like, just be in the moment. Don't try to pre-plan the next 10 years and don't make them responsible for the previous 10. You know what I mean? You have to really be, because look, like, I mean, like, and this is a real thing with my current boyfriend is that, you know, because it was soon after my previous relationship, we can't have the same type of arguments because, you know, there's some transference, right? That comes from your previous experiences. And especially, like, you know, not all relationships are great. People go through, like, abusive relationships.
Yep.
And so there are wounds that are there. So it's, you know, so we kind of have to drop all of this, like, expectation and just be in the moment. And when it comes to dating and connecting, you just have to, like, to me, it's like, be true to yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Take a read of what you are needing and wanting for yourself.
Now, you say that, but if you're struggling with depression, it's very difficult to say to somebody to actually stand up for yourself. Like, it's your...
Oh, 100%.
You're in a very vulnerable position. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the other response that I've heard from people to this kind of idea is that you shouldn't try to love someone else until you learn to love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure RuPaul says that.
Yeah. Which I think is actually the hugest crock of manure ever, because most of the world's religions, well, we'll go with Buddhism because they're the ones who really spell it out very clearly, where they're just like, loving yourself is the hardest thing you can do with your life. If you learn how to truly love and accept yourself, you have basically just, you are a half step short of being an enlightened demigod. That there's, it's really, really difficult. If you talk to somebody who does psychotherapy or anyone who does psychosocial research, they say they all agree that, like, self-esteem and learning to appreciate yourself is the most difficult thing you could possibly do with your life.
Yeah, but I think it's maybe...
And so waiting to achieve enlightenment before you go out for coffee with someone I don't think is the solution.
No, I think you're taking
it's
it
much
too
easier
far.
To do yoga.
Well, and yoga.
I or mean, go to a park bench and eat yogurt.
On the first date, too.
I think that we actually need to, you know, for folks who may not be with certain health or mental health considerations, for the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know, for the rest of us, I think it is time that we are a little bit more considerate. And I stick with me here because, you know, it takes a lot of trust for some folks mm-hmm. to open up that front door, open mm-hmm. up the garden gate, and draw you down the path to the giblets. It takes a lot of giblets. Sorry, I'm keep calling them giblets. Yeah. But it takes a lot of trust. You know, people have to really trust you before they're willing to do that. You know, I know that for me, it took a lot of trust before I was willing to take that step. Mm-hmm. You know, and so for some folks, their crutch is drugs or alcohol. They kind of balance it out that way. And maybe what we need to do is be better at building interpersonal relationships, which is maybe why romance shouldn't die. Because romance is a good way of using these social cues to kind of hit the brakes, slow things down, and have a chance to talk to each other. So maybe Netflix and chill should include at least a couple of episodes of the Santa Clarita Diet.
Like some actual Netflix at some point.
Yeah. Some actual Netflix.
Yeah.
And then the chill.
I will say.
I mean, I would be Cartoon Network and be groovy instead of Netflix and chill, but you know.
I'm kind of okay with Netflix.
I mean, that's a specific target, but I will say that to your comment though, Luke, like, and I'll be clear too that I actually have like PTSD. I've been diagnosed PTSD with severe anxiety and depression disorder. So if I've come across as insincere, I am a jokey type of person, but it also does come from I do have a level of understanding about especially when you come from a place of trauma. So so in what I've said it. Even though it may have a jokey tone to it, it does come from a place of like I do sometimes have a challenge with connecting to people because of those experiences. But
does it help then to go straight down to the Ghiblis, or does that moment, that chance to build trust and communication?
Sometimes yes. Like sometimes, honestly, like sometimes when there's an expectation of the romance. And it could tie in even with the depression.
Yeah.
It could create anxiety because if you're not feeling particularly romantic and intimate, that's for somebody, I mean, that's a lot sometimes. And if you're in a depressive episode, I mean, it's a challenge to even get your day going, let alone have to bring that next level. So sometimes it can actually present a challenge in that, if on the receiving end you're expecting that, you know, oh, I haven't received any gifts or I haven't received a phone call or a text message or this or that, that can be creating a lot of tension in that dynamic. Mm-hmm. And then that comes through, right? Because if you're kind of being passive aggressive or you're sending messages to try to get some sort of validation or the person on the other end may not be ignoring you because they're not interested. They could be ignoring you because what you're actually doing is overwhelming them. So, I mean, that's very real. So I think too is that, and that's what I was sort of speaking to with that, like when you're kind of having sex with somebody, you're revealing your most vulnerable.
Yeah.
For people who have depression and have mental health issues, like you may feel as though you're revealing even more. So like, you know, you're giving away all of your secrets. Mm-hmm. So even though I kind of said it jokingly, it actually is an honest sentiment where you go, okay, like, cause for me, when I hook up right away with somebody, I think that they're kind of looking at me through those rose colored glasses of like, cause let's face it, we all have beer goggles when it comes to, you know,
boys
and giblets
and it's like, you know what I mean? So it's like you feel like, oh, okay, well now the curtain's been pulled back, and I think a lot of people maybe can't handle what that means. And so it's really like it's really sort of kind of going through those motions and just being open-minded and sort of letting the walls down that you can kind of push through those barriers.
Maybe what we're looking at now is the next step. Maybe it's hookup, maybe not bust. Maybe there is a hookup and a, you know, is the second date where you slow it down? You know, is it that's when you actually Netflix or Cartoon Network and chill? You know, how do you navigate that? I am so determined, if I can impart any wisdom on any of our listeners, I'm like, you know, give people the space to speak for themselves. Give people the space to engage with you with how and when they want to engage.
I think sort of an extension of this conversation, something that definitely needs to be mentioned as well, is that you're not dating someone who's perfect.
No, and everyone is imperfect.
You're never going to find someone who's perfect. And I think that's part of the issue of this, that where people feel like if they do say, I'm not comfortable putting out on the first date, that the other person will view them as being broken or flawed in some way.
Yeah.
And will just move on to someone who is less imperfect. And I mean, that could also, I mean, it could just be that hookup or bust is just a symptom of a whole list of other issues. Mm-hmm. Actually, it almost definitely is. And one of them is the insecurity that someone will accept you for who you are, and that they're looking for perfection. And if you don't portray yourself as being exactly what they want, without even asking them what it is that they want, you just assume that they want someone who's a crazy animal in bed.
Yeah.
And there's actually a lot of people who don't like crazy animals in bed. They want the sweet loving down by the fire. They don't want the, you know, breaking the bedposts. That's not what they want out of life.
So it's expensive.
It's so expensive to be damaging to your furniture like that. The number of times...
Beds are very pricey.
Yeah, in the movies when you see people like clear everything off the desk so they could have sex on the...
You know what annoyed me about Twilight? One of the things that annoyed me about Twilight was they destroyed a four-poster bed on this vacation home. And I'm just thinking... Imagine the cost to repair that. Like, that's going to... I mean, just, like, seriously. Think it through.
Maybe you should be doing that standing up from now on. But anyway. Yeah.
Let's write a letter.
Yeah. So, asking, like, this idea that you have to perform something without even knowing what it is that you're meant to perform, and so you fall back on this script that's kind of garbage in the first place. And if you think the script is garbage, why are you running off of it? But then if you don't run off of that, then how are you ever going to date? Because the other person expects you to do that. But then how do you know they expect you to do that?
Sometimes it's a safety net. Like, it's the guideposts lead you there.
Like, this sounds like I'm being over analytical or something like that, but this is what goes through people's heads quite often when they first meet someone.
So you look at like social media, and especially when you have some of these networks that are connected actually to like things like Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And you look at like, so you look into somebody's profile, you see what they're presenting on these other social networks, but then you look at their main social network profile, and people present a real lifestyle. Like if you look at somebody's feed, they've got quotes and like little videos, and like you can read someone's lifestyle. So you're going in with all of this, like
if somebody wanted to hook up with me based on my Facebook feed, it would all be like adorable videos of red pandas, and like, no, they're not going to get anything out of that. But I know what you're saying. Like, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
But so you like, and that's what I'm saying. So you go in there and you're armed with all of this information. Mm-hmm. So like even before your date, like, you know everything there is to know.
Or you think you do.
Or you think you do. You get
based on everything they want you to think about them.
And that's the other thing, right? Is that we, like, often I feel like people, they have this mental picture of what they're connecting with. And then when they get there, like, the person's either shorter, taller, bigger, smaller, younger, older.
Mm-hmm. A Pisces.
Not photogenic, you know, dreadful. Or extra photogenic. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's so many variations that...
Not at all photogenic is much better, though, when you show up.
That's like, way better.
Damn, you're good looking. Like, you're okay in your photo. And you're a good conversation. Actually, here's one of the things. This is so depressing. If somebody contacts me and they speak in full sentences... Mm-hmm. And they express at least one opinion at some point in time, I will agree to meet them.
Well, you're almost guaranteed not to have sex then.
Just in a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm guaranteed to meet somebody if they communicate with me using at least a complete grammatical sentence and at least one opinion. Which, by the way, that sounds like really low standards, but if you go on the...
It's like the Bechdel test.
No, that is a high... Honestly, I don't
That's like
know
impossibly high.
That's a high standard.
Yeah.
For the circles.
Well, I hate to raise the standard even higher, but...
is this a bad segue to cutting off the show?
No.
Okay.
Can we encourage our listeners, if you are a gay male using an application, to use whole sentences, to hold your own opinions, and to not just jump straight to the dick pics. Nobody wants that.
I saw... So I follow this French philosopher called Alain de Botton. I love this guy. I know I've mentioned him on air before. I thought
you were going to say René Descartes. No. And I had to remember that he's
He recently did an analysis of what makes a person interesting. Because surely you've met someone who's done a lot of interesting things, but they're still a fundamentally boring person. Like, they've traveled a lot, they've had interesting jobs, and you talk to them, and you're just like, oh my God, I can't wait to get away from you. Mm-hmm. And then you meet other people, like my aunt, and her job, she wraps the tinfoil on potatoes at the baked potato factory. But let me tell you something, she's the most fascinating person you will ever meet in your entire life. And his big analysis of what makes a person fundamentally fascinating is that they hold their own opinions, and they can tell you why they hold those opinions. So it's not just, I like this movie because it's good, or I don't like that movie because it sucks. Like, they can actually tell you what they're thinking, why they think that, and what the emotional viewpoint behind that. So earlier on, when you were saying about, like, not Owen Wilson, what's his name? The movies by...
Wes Anderson,
that, like, there's something very, like, artistic about the movies, and there's, like, the visual balance of it, and, like, some of the scenes are very, like, deliberately plain, and other ones are very rich, and being able to explain, like, I like Wes Anderson for the following long list of reasons.
Yeah.
Imagine being able to apply that to something like, I like this cup of coffee because of brum, and it reminds me of... Brum. So if you could take any situation and spin a yarn out of it, basically, like, that's part of what makes somebody interesting.
Yeah.
That you know the contents of their mind. That it's not just, you know, if they like or dislike something, but you know why, and you can predict why they would or would not like something else.
Well, and that's it. That's the piece.
And that's what you need on a first date, to actually express yourself. And also on these profiles, like, hey, do you like my pick? And it's like, yeah, you have nice abs. Well, maybe, but like, yeah, I noticed there's a poster in the background, which, by the way, some people just stop talking to you right away. If you say, like, I noticed this poster in the background of your pick, and others like, oh, you noticed that. And it's really strange. Like, the people who stop talking to you, I think the fact that you are expressing something intimate, like you're noticing something about them other than their abs.
You reveal.
I think it scares them. Mm-hmm. And then other people are like, holy crap, you're paying attention. And then,
So, hook up or bust? Final thoughts. Because I think in this show...
Well, I mean, clearly in my case, the answer is bust.
We've argued for hook up and bust, against hook up and bust, you know... It's gone all over the place.
Like, it is a thing.
Yeah.
It's... and I think we all agree that it's a bad thing, to some degree at least.
If you're looking for a good meal, don't go to a convenience store to get the ingredients, is what I'm saying. So if you're looking for intimacy, romance, and connection...
Yeah, don't go on Grindr.
Don't start on any social media.
Oh, if you do, go in with the expectation that that's not the expectation of most of the other people on there.
It is not real.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It is a myth.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree. I think there are some unicorns out there that buck the trend, but unfortunately we can't debate that anymore.
There's two of them, and you're already in a relationship
with each other. Thank you very much. So that's all we've got time for today. Next week, we're talking about the intersections of masculinity and race. Very interesting conversation. The week after that, we will be talking about why certain cancer rates are so much higher in the gay, bi, lesbian, and trans community. Very interesting conversation coming up in the next couple of weeks. Don't miss it. Or check us out, www.canqueer.news. That's all for now. Thank you so much. I've been Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
And I'm probably not getting invited back, but I'm Angus.